So, Father, right now, our worship is more than just a place of private intimacy. Out of it comes the power that you gave us when Christ ascended. So with that glory and with that grace, we begin to speak to sickness and disease. Upcrop again, it appears, COVID, different flu viruses. We were to live above these things. We were to live above them, to think like the world and to think like the remnant of the church, that these things are just as they are. We should take great insult. It should insult us with a godly anger, with a real godly anger, not mad at you, God, but a godly anger that anything thinks itself worthy to attach itself to our bodies. In the name of Jesus, right now, I rebuke this against the church and against individuals. And I pray that they'll raise up with a godly inheritance and in a godly indignation to speak to these things. We speak to them in Jesus' name, and we rise up. We say, be healed. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We drive out sickness. We drive out flu, disease of any sort, COVID, in Jesus' name. Go. Go. Symptoms go. Sore throat, strep throat, all kinds of things. In Jesus' name. Manda kerese kiriyato. John G. Lake had enough of his brothers and sisters that died, and they kept dying. Became one of the most powerful, prolific healing ministers of his day. Took on the continent of Africa and did some incredible things. Then came back to Spokane, Washington. Then it was declared, as you have traditionally heard, the most disease-free city in the United States, at least for a period of time. But what caused him, he'll write in his own writings or things about him, is that he came to a place where he just got angry, absolute furious about people dying that he loved around him. As long as you can take something on the chin and back up and say, oh, okay, I'll endure through this. Now, God didn't want you to take anything on the chin. He wants you to punch back, counterpunch back. It ought to make you, I'm not going to cuss, but I've got a little temptation too. It ought to make you real mad at sickness, thinking that it's going to come. Disease. You'll never be like real triumphant over sickness in your home. It'll come and go and come and go, go, come and go, come and go. Unless you get what they'd call green-eyed, just a green-eyed monster, just when it starts to show up. Kenneth Hagin said, I never had in the last 50 years or 40 years one headache that ever really set in. And I would kept thinking, my God, not one. He said, not one. He said, but when they would come, he said, I had plenty of temptations to receive them. But the moment, he said, it wouldn't matter where I was at. So I'd get in my car and I could feel a twinge of something, and it's, oh my God, no, no. So you let something start. Oh my. And I'm not running anybody down. I'm talking about where I've been in times gone by. You ought to jump on it like they'd say a chicken on a June bug. On the first initial swallow, the first, why? Because he was tempted as we were tempted. If you don't think he wasn't tempted, he was tempted like, see that girl? Well, that she didn't have short skirts on then. They had long robes, but men could still imagine. If you don't think he didn't see a beautiful lady and a thought come and have to put it down, he was tempted in all ways, such as we. although the temptation he never allowed to go to first base. It was just maybe a thought come, maybe a human emotion, but he wouldn't allow it. Well, if he was tempted in all ways, that means tempted, not just like tempted, I'm tempted to sin. That word in the Greek means that it was pressed upon him. In other words, he had the opportunity to go with it. Then if he was tempted as we are, you have to understand that sickness come at him as well. He could feel maybe a time of, body would be tempted to accept something. Maybe it went from 98 point, what's normal, doctor? 6 to 98.7. He could just feel it a little bit. Nope. Hallelujah. He's gone before us. This has been road tested. Has anybody arrived? No, but you better get mad about him attacking your finances. You better get mad about him attacking your body. You better get mad about him coming in with any oppression. Honey, is anything wrong? No, nothing's wrong. But you can feel when that heaviness comes in. Nobody's smarted off. Nobody's been mean, but you can feel that edge. Well, what are those? It's not just human emotions. Many times it's devils. It's devils. Well, it's good if both of you are walking with the Lord, but I know that doesn't always work. That's not always the case. If you feel that heaviness, I don't know how many hundreds of times, and Candy and I, we're headed towards 50 years, and I'm still a young man. Ask Stephen. We worked out together yesterday. But 45 years, how many times? I don't know, 200 or 300 times we'd feel something and we'd just stop. No. And you'd say something, they'd say something, and it would be immediately misinterpreted, be twisted. You don't think that they're not in the atmosphere? Come on. You can't see. Now, there's none in here because we didn't allow them. But there's angels in here. I can walk through them because we're not of the same material. I could pass right through them, and they could pass right through me because we're of different dimensions. But they're in here. And you don't think devils won't come in your home? They'll come in your home. They'll come with infirmities. They'll come with sicknesses. They'll come with false imaginations and all kinds of stuff. You'll just wake up and you're happy yesterday with whoever. Now, wait till they attack your pastor. I liked him last week. But if he don't shut up about prayer, I'm going to shut him up. Then everything somebody says, it's tagged. It's got a hashtag on it. It's something that it doesn't mean. Did you plan on saying this? No, but somebody or all of us need to hear it. What do? You don't make a big spectacle. You don't have to go into fasting and prayer. Stop and go into 4 hours of prayer. But I don't know how many telephone booths I've went into. Not real literal telephone booths, but used to. The old comic was Superman getting a phone booth. And he changed. I've walked in a lot of people's bathrooms. I've walked in a lot of places right around the corner of the house or right next to the oak tree and go out there and speak to that thing because I knew he had come. If you don't know that the place that you live in, the place of the Father, is a spiritual place that you have all dominion over, sickness, disease, poverty, oppression. Well, they said something to me. I know it was a shot. Yeah, it was a shot, but you take the blinders off. Who do you think put that thought in them to say that? It was a shot and it stuck. Sure it was a shot. But guess what? If you're not walking, see, my mouth at times through the years, I don't want to admit how many times I've said stuff that I thought later, oh God, they might have went home with something that I was used. Jesus said to Peter, he said to several of them, he had to say to James and John one time, You don't even know what spirit you're of. I like the way Barry said it the other day, Barry Johnson. He said, because that one guy didn't have his camel parked next to theirs. They were mad and said, should we call fire down? They won't receive us into the village. We want to call fire down. He said, you know, that's how religion talks. We want to kill everybody. He said, I've come to save everybody. I don't want to kill nobody. And he rebukes them. He rebuked Peter. Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't even speak. He was speaking to the Spirit. Because he told him just hours, just days before what he was going to do, and Peter grabs him. Far be it from you, Lord. He was trying to, you know, even friends are not your friend at the moment when they try to give you self-induced wisdom that it's come from. And I don't know how many times, God help me. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood where I have spouted off and did not go inward and listen to what the inward place said. And I'd say something and I'd think, my God, I hope they don't do what I told them. Because that was just out of mind. But every one of us, if you're born again, and especially if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not to give an answer except from that answer of that place with inside of you. So what I was saying is the church, so many of the church, because they don't pray and don't walk in a place of continual communion, they're just like, you know, you've seen, what's the thing that the kids like? What's it, Ava, like the puppet? What's the new the puppet movie? Pinocchio, thank you. Pinocchio. She can do that Pinocchio dance. How many Pinocchios are on strings? Mouth. Say this, because not God, the enemy. I'll kick you while you're down. Maybe God put that on you to teach you something. Insult to injury. You're going through the trial of your life. Job's comforters. We're to cut the strings from everything around us. Speak life and speak everything that Christ is in us. To us, in us, and through us. As Pastor Dave used to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't want my stupidity, and I don't want yours. Hallelujah. I want life. I want something you've been meditating. I want something you've been meditating. Can we have fun? Yes, we can have fun. Can we talk about trivial things, football, baseball, different whatever? Yes, we can. But when it comes to life, life. And by the way, really, the biggest part of our conversation should go just, not because we try to make it, it should always gravitate back to the things of God. Because we're revival people, are we not? Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. Just magnify him with me for just a moment. We magnify you, Jesus. You are who you say you are. We love you, Jesus. We can do nothing, nothing, nothing of ourselves. Lord, we're nothing of ourselves. All things go back to you. Teach us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that we may be exalted. That exaltation, being able to lay hands on the sick, speak your word, to speak and raise up and win the lost. Win the lost, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to continue this morning. I was wondering if I was going to get there or start again when he starts speaking prophetically like that. But let's go back to A Place in the Father, and this will be A Place in the Father Part 5, I believe. And that's what we're going to continue. I'm going to pass and review for a few moments. This is going to be kind of quick, and because I can't stop because I want to get to a little bit of something new. But even if it was, if we just stayed where we were at for the last couple of weeks, that would be fine too. And I always pause and continue on those veins. I try to stay where he's at. That's not get too much in a hurry, but not drag things as well. So, hallelujah. Stretch your faith this way. Agree with me. Father, we love you. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Yeshua, we love you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We receive your grace. We receive your grace. We receive your grace. Hallelujah. I could hear Sarah sing that all day long. That Yeshua song. Anointed. Hallelujah. We've been talking about a place in the Father, and we'll go there to the Scripture. Why don't we go there? That'll be the first thing. Let's go to John chapter 14, and let me just read three verses, because those are our kickoff verses. I don't want to try to quote them. John chapter 14. So it'll help us. This is Jesus. I know it's Jesus because it's in red. Hallelujah. And these are these five chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, that are just before the cross. And he's in a room about sharing the Last Supper with his disciples and saying a lot of wonderful things. But these are so intimate. These chapters are so intimate with the Father. But let's look at and pick on these three verses that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Okay, we'll stop right there. Please don't continue to read. Let's stay together. We've said, and I'll just pass and review real quick. Obviously, you should know, and by now, and those of you who've been watching, but if there's anybody that hasn't, go back and listen to the last few weeks. We've been building. But one of the things that we know, and we knew even before this, but we've just reiterated, is that word mansion does not mean, it's the word mane in the Greek, and it just means the first word to describe that is a place of staying or a place of dwelling. And so what he is talking about, what Christ is talking about, and you know if you read all of these chapters, he's not talking about a physical place in which, he's going away to build for you. He's talking about a place that what he will accomplish, as in being the sacrificial lamb and paying the price and then going to hell and suffer, and we exhorted on that some last week, and then raising from the dead and then ascending to the Father, that was going to provide a place for us that man could not have except through Jesus Christ. And he was going to prepare that place, but that place has been provided for. It's not an ongoing, this I'm going to prepare a place for you. That is not descriptive of an ongoing preparation, as in he's going, he's still working on that. First of all, we know it's not a physical mansion. It's a spiritual dwelling place. Secondly, he's not in a continual place of, Hebrews tells us that this high priest has forever sanctified those who have come to the Lord. In other words, it's done. It's forever. It's a completed process. So he has provided this mane for us, this dwelling place, this staying place. But one of the things that we have been looking at so deeply is that these chapters are not just a positional truth. Thank God for positional truth. But if positional truth alone was enough, just because I step into something, the body of Christ would be on fire doing the works of Christ. So believing on him is not, it starts there. That's the foundational part. Without that, you can't even get to first base unless you get to, you can't go around the bases unless you get to first base, which is you've got to step in to the born again experience. But believing him alone, just saying, okay, I've got a positional truth, and I don't have to go any further than that. I don't have to fast. I don't have to pray. I can just do this. Well, then why in God's name? That command must be an awful weak command. If he's saying, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, just because you believe. Well, somebody's messed up here. Because I'm looking at the church and I'm saying, okay, if that's just a positional command, I just step into that. Well, then why is the church not doing the works? Because they don't have an ongoing believing, which is the second part of that, which is a room in the Father. It starts out with a room of dwelling, but it goes beyond that into a place of a continual fellowship. And so that's just the beginning of this. But I'll go through some of this kind of quickly because I want to go on. We mentioned that there was an incredible price that was paid in for your place in the Father. An incredible price was paid for your individuality. You are a, Dave used to say it, an entire universe to God. If you feel like, we said this, this is absolute true, I feel this way oftentimes in intimacy. If you feel like you walk out and you're like, I'm God's favorite, well, you really are. Because that intimacy that you have with him interprets itself out as that you are so special. I mean, it is absolute, the fulcrum, the very essence of everything that God is totally wrapped up in you. And Jesus paid the price for that. That's why we know he wants us healed. He wants us healthy. He wants us going forward. You're not just a statistic to God. You're not just a number. Listen, hey, when we run 5,000 with no programs, when we run 10,000 with no programs, one thing I desire, because I'd rather just stay this size or less. Give me 10. Give me 5. Give me 15. Then we walk in and feel the absolute presence and feel family. Feel family. I don't know who you are, sir. I don't know who you are, man. But we're family. No cliques. No, I rub shoulders with the pastor. I sing on stage. That and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. Maybe if you add a quarter to it. Hallelujah. Your individuality cannot be lived out in Christ except your personal communion with the Lord. This is a revival that we're seeking that's not like any other revival. We talked about short investments and short returns. The revivals of the past were short investments with short returns. This one lasts all the way up to the coming of Christ. That's why it's taking longer. We don't want a 3-year revival. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in a 2-year revival. I'm not interested in packing the place out with non. He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. I'm not interested in laying down at night and saying, oh, I pastor 500 people. 600, 700. But what glory is showing up in your services? How much of that glory is absolutely changing lives? I mean changing them lives. I mean now Christ comes in the home and she wakes up next to him. She's not imagining divorce anymore. He was looking at her, the new secretary that he just hired. Hadn't done anything yet. Hadn't done anything. But, ooh. Kids were starting to go crazy. The power of God comes into somebody's home and somebody's life. Begins to change them. Begins to change them beyond all of anything that a program could possibly do. And I'm not against programs. But I can tell you this place. It's taking me out of the notes. Let me tell you this. that this place, this mane, to start with, in the first part of this chapter, he says, I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare this mansion. And this word mansion is the word mane, with the A-Y apostrophized or accented at the end. A mane. I'm going to prepare this mansion for you. But at the end of this chapter, he said, if you'll love me, me and my Father will come and we'll make our abode with you. That word abode, I hope you would guess it. It's the word mansion. It's the word mane. We're going to come in. The first part is, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. When I go in and I bring the blood of my own blood into that holy place, it's a done deal. Now you have access to the Father forever. And then me and the Father will come and we'll make our abode. We'll make our, same word, mansion, our mane with you, and we'll dwell with you. But that word mane is the word staying. It's the word staying. Just look it right up out of Strong's. It's easy. It's not, you don't need those deep, deep things to research. It's the staying. It's a staying. I'll come and we'll have a staying with you. We'll stay with you. Well, that's what he's provided for us, to change homes, to change marriages, a place of staying. But what is that, Pastor? How do I get there? Well, this is the message that we're giving. This is the message. This is our niche. I'm not saying, oh, everybody has to. I'm not. This is for he who has ears to hear. If this calls you over and says, okay, he's called me to this. But one thing that becomes a battle for people is being able to reconcile works, which sometimes are good works, and how much of the staying is just really just overemphasized. He talked about Wednesday that there's a ceiling still, at best, on the church. A ceiling at best on all of us. Well, we're trying to break through it. The only way to break through it is not more of the same. Now, I went and saw Mario. He did a good job, really. And there's some other guys that came in this week that I've heard really good. The only thing is, and this isn't to criticize them, because it'd be the same for me, because it is. It is. Right now, nobody's broken that ceiling. Well, I like that guy. I like that guy. Good. Wonderful. That's good. But nobody's broken the ceiling. How do you know? Well, I have a friend. He's one of my best friends. He went to a couple of those meetings, and he still came home the same. Now, he's not a preacher chaser, because he probably knows more word than they do. But it's just indicative to me. And if 16 other guys came into town, it'd probably have been the same thing. If he just went to those. Why? Because somebody's got to go in to that dwelling. Somebody's got to go into that mane. Like us, not just one man, but men and women, and say, come on. We won't divorce ourselves from anything that he tells us to do in the world as providing in works. We won't divorce ourselves. We'll follow his commands. But if you think, here's the thing. here's what you can hide yourself in works, but you can't hide yourself in intimacy. As 20 years, 25, no, it was before Dave, 20-something years ago, I was in Guatemala. I'd worked all week. I think it was the second time I'd been down there, and I'd built. And the first time I went way up in the mountains with a whole team of guys, and I was the only block layer, and I got sick. And I was just running a fever at night, and we'd come down there to build that church, but then they wanted me to also preach, but I wasn't the team leader. It was another man that was a pastor in the church, but we were all younger then. And I'd lay on that floor at night and just burning up. But I knew I was the only one. The rest of them could carry the blocks to me. We had probably 20 guys that would work, but I was the only one that could actually put the blocks in the wall. Some of them would grab a trowel and make a bigger mess of my work. I'd want to say, just put it down. I'll do it all. I don't burn a fever and everything. I'll do it. I'll do it all. So I built that, put up that church. It took us about a week, and then at night I preached once or twice. But then I was in a, then I went to Guatemala City, where it's a poverty you can't, it just break your heart. And those little kids, and I worked all week on that, and I'd lay those, lay blocks and stuff. But then they, we'd had a, we were working at an orphanage. And those little kids, when the last day when they'd come by, we were feeding them soup, and I was ladling soup for them. Next one, and I'm just standing there crying. I go, oh God, Jesus, I want to take every single one of these little orphans home with me, every single one. And I was doing His work, but here's the thing. I was walking with the Lord, but I still, that was before this. I was working for the Lord. I was putting my body out there. I was burning up with a fever. I was feeding. I was doing. But on the inside, I was still bound with debates and strifes and all kinds of things that could not and did not come off and did not drop off until I got on this journey of walking into Him and praying and fasting. All those ladling, bring another one. I'll, you know, me crying, give another one. Me crying, give another one. You'd think that'd be enough to cause a man's heart to just absolutely melt and everything. But no, you come back, you're still the same old you, because there's nothing that'll mortify you and take you into this place except fasting and praying and staying in a mane before Him. Works will not do it. You can hide in works. That's why some people go to churches that's all they got. Let's do this, and we're going to do that. That's good. The bottom line is, why can't you? Why can't you stay with something like, now I like this. If a man wants to do works, that's good. And if he's called, and some are. Man, I thank God for guys, evangelists like Mario and those kind of. But you know what I would, if I had a direct team, and we did, the Lord said, start a street thing in the church. I'd say this, you've got to promise me, and this I'd check on, because I don't check on none of you. I never ask you how much, but if I had a direct team going to the streets, I would say this, your money has to double or triple your street time. You've got to promise me you're doing 3 hours of prayer to 1 hour of witnessing. Because if you think 1 hour of, 3 hours, that's why people like Works Church and program churches, because they can hide in it. They don't have to go and die. You don't have to sit there, and you don't have to kill you. But then again, why should you do that? Well, I can tell you why you can do that, because of my friend and because of 1,000 more like him. Because nobody, if it had went to 16 more, just, and those are great guys, if they had 16 more come in, you say, Pastor, you're being very pessimistic. No, I'm talking about a ceiling. If there was 16 more, and he'd have just followed him, he's nothing like that. But if he'd have went to 16 more that's getting occasional miracles, it'd have been the same results. But here's the thing. What has He called us to? He's called us to a mane. He's called us to a dwelling place. He's called us to abode where the works that He did will do also. Philip said, He said, show us the Father. He said, oh, ay, ay, ay. Have I been so long with you, Philip, that you've not seen me and known me? Don't you understand that he who has seen me has seen the Father also? And he said, believe me. He was directly talking to Philip, but he was talking to all that. He said, believe me, Philip. You've got to put that in there. Believe me for my words. But if you don't believe my words, believe me for the works' sake, that I and my Father are one. When are we ever going to get to say to the world, believe me, believe this gospel because of the works' sake? Hallelujah. You can't take enough missionary. I've tried it a few times. I've sacrificed my body. I understand the scripture that says if you give your body to be burned. Well, mine was burning up with fever. But I still, if any of them orphans would have said, I've got a blind eye. Feed them. My God, keep them alive. Somebody feed them. But my call and your call, if you're attached to this, to say, wait a minute. Thank God, let somebody feed them. I'll send them money. Let somebody feed them. But there's a place in there that nobody's contacted. And either it exists, feed people, or that thing here. God, excuse me, Lord, I won't call it that thing. Either this is an absolute lie, and I even hate to say that, from beginning to end. If we can't do this, if we can't come into a place where the works that he did will do also. See, your salvation and these works were supposed to be the same. Jesus said to those who let down the paralytic, he said, your sins are forgiven, and they got mad. He said, it's just one and the same to me. Born again and healing and miracles are one and the same. Okay, if that offends you, and you, okay, rise up and walk. Which one do you want me to say? What he's saying is there, you get everything in that package. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But the church right now is to a place, and I could go read it. I thought about, that was the other part I wanted to get to. I'll just exhort it, because that's where he's at. I'll just exhort it. But I can teach it line on line. But if you were to go to John 5, you find out that he comes to the pool. There was a pool, the pool Bethesda. Had five porches in Jerusalem. It was next to the sheep market. And it said there was impotent people, infirmed of all kinds of infirmities that were laying around this pool. And there was an incredible anomaly that took place. It was just out of the ordinary that on occasions an angel, a real angel, would come down and touch the water. And once it began to wave and vibrate, whoever was the first, that was it. It was just one. Whoever was the first who plunged themselves into the pool could get healed. It didn't matter if you were a cripple or blind or did. And I guarantee you, you laid pretty close to that thing. And I don't know what seasons meant. I don't know if it'd be months that you'd have to lay there, but you just hope. And if you were blind, you would hope somebody would love you enough to say, it's being troubled, roll over into it. But you could imagine the moment that you jumped in or fell over into it, you got completely healed. What an incredible anomaly. That's different from everything. But Jesus comes up, and you know how he's doing everything. It's just everything's beyond just the moment. He sees this crippled man there who's been crippled, what was it, 38 years? I don't know, something like that, 38 years. Something. 38. Will you be healed? Well, sir, I have no man to put me in to the water when this angel comes. Jesus said, well, take up your bed. That's over. This thing of whoever once in a while is over. It's over. This pool of Bethesda was just a testimony to Israel of the healing power that one day the real, not this is just a type, but the real is going to walk in and put an end to all of this. This is over. This covenant, this dispensation is over. There's not going to be a selective healing anymore. It's going to be me saying when, and this is, see, what we're after. Thank God for the gifts. Like Mario's, I'm just saying because we just went there. Not necessarily just highlighting him all the time, but he's highly developed in the word of knowledge. But that's all gifts, and that's good. That's good. But that's a sometimes. That's a sometimes. We're not after a gifts revival. We're after a on-demand revival. Jesus basically was saying, oh, that was an anomaly. That just happened when God, but God, that was a testimony to everybody that one day the real would come. Now, the real's here. The real's here. And it made the Jews mad. And then immediately after that, I mean, right immediately after that, it said, and after this, that was chapter 5 and chapter 6, it was the same setting. After this, after he left that pool and that fight with the Pharisees, after this, he went out into the wilderness. And you know what he did there? The coincidence of that is Matthew chapter 14. That's the same story as John chapter 6 of him going out to the wilderness. Well, what did he do? That's the feeding of the 5,000. But it says in Matthew 14, that's one of those seven that Gary found, seven times where Christ healed everybody. He heals the man at the pool of Bethesda, walks off and says, y'all think that's something? I'm going out of town. Does anybody want to follow me? It says in Matthew 14 that they brought all the infirmed and they brought all the sick. They brought him out of the city to where he was at. And then we know this, he healed them all. The pool is over. The church now is to heal them all. But here's the thing. The church presently is functioning too much like the pool of Bethesda. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Based on the anointing, based on the gifts, he's saying, and what he's left us is this. There's no more pool of Bethesda. There's no more pool of Bethesda for the church. It's not supposed to be a gift revival. It's an on demand, because you go into the mone, you go into the dwelling place, and somebody pays the price to say, I'll stay here long enough. Even if I got a call to hit the streets, okay, now, oh man, I'm an evangelist. Okay, evangelist, but give me 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, because when you hit there, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mandakele sekiridiato. Mandele kara de eresidiato kelesidiato. I'm hearing your voice, the voice of your heart. I'm hearing it, says the Spirit of grace. Not for one, but for many. There's a reaching out for more. Even the old, which has been prayer and fasting and messages of old, I'm bringing to the new in you, says the Lord. For hunger is to overtake you as my desire, and thirst that says, I don't care what the obstacle is. I'll fight past it. I'll fight past confusion, dismay. This earthen body, we have this treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of Christ and not of us. Therefore, we're troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. But yet, not in despair, cast down. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the power of Christ may be manifest in my mortal body. Jesus. It's worth the price. It's worth the price. How long is it going to take? I don't know. I just know it's worth the price. He's asked, if you're under the sound of this voice, you didn't know maybe the day that you were getting into something like what you've gotten into. But now you've incriminated yourself. From your mother's womb, he saw, said, I've got something on a call on their life to become an intercessor. Malahole erise tiakalasote just reminded me. I saw in the spirit, I had a vision years ago, and I saw a war room. It was like NORAD, My son-in-law this past summer took me out to a multi-million-dollar facility that Ave Maria had built for the fire department. He introduced me into this fire chief, this fire chief. I'm just thinking, how many fire chiefs are there? They had a war. They had a room where you walk into. It was probably just a little tiny one compared to like something like NORAD. Big screen terminals, like a table with, you could put maybe 15, I don't know, 12, 15 people that could watch their terminals. Like if there was ever a major disaster in this area, they could coordinate that from a central place. We have places like, it used to be called NORAD, I don't know if it is now, but in Colorado, where they watch North America, it's the North America Aerospace something, defense. But I walked into this place and I was looking I was looking at all these maps and I was looking at this place and all these strategic places. And the Lord was saying, I want to take that area, I want to take that region. And then I would turn, and just like I had, you know, all of these IT people that were working on doing all this, but then there was behind them intercessors. The intercessors were the ones that really delivered the power to go into those regions, the footmen or the foot soldiers or the people that were going in there, because without intercession and without somebody dying, all that didn't make a difference. And he would light up and say, that's the place. And then I would say, okay, I need a certain amount of intercession for the next 30 days or 6 months, and we're going to invade into this place. And when we go in there, my God, the walls are going to fall. Hell's gates will not prevail against us. You're called, all of you are called. You're called what? Well, I know everybody's called, but you're called to this particular, making intercession, going in to Amane, to a place of getting to know him, to say, okay, man, I appreciate everybody that's doing anything, but mine is to go into intimacy, birth this thing, and bring it forth. Spend whatever time is necessary. Hallelujah. Now we're going to sing this again. And I don't know how much room there is up here. It may crowd into the aisles. But if there's something inside of you that, I mean, we're getting close to 2023. I don't want 2023 to look like 2022. Hallelujah. I want change. I'm not unhappy. I'm just dissatisfied in a godly manner, very dissatisfied. I want to go into 2023. Now, I'm not bragging because it's just come on me the last couple days. I hadn't even been thinking about it so much. I've already started in him. He'll come and start nudging me. I can feel him just kind of like nudging. It doesn't come real forceful. He's already started nudging and saying how many days I'm supposed to set aside and set myself back, prayer and fasting. That's the call that we're on. For you, I don't know what it is. I won't even speculate. I want to go back to Guatemala one day, dip that soup, and then say, can I have an hour over here with these orphans? Because some of them came through here with deaf ears or maybe a blinded eye. And I want to give them what soup can't. God. Somebody. Somebody go in there. You'll hear it if you get close. He'll talk to you about January. Give me a couple days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days a week, 10 days, on and off, whatever. But if you're here this morning and something inside of you says, I got to have more of you this year than I had last year, would you come and stand with me and just lift your hands? We're looking for change. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sing it, would you please? Hallelujah, Jesus. Just step up, those of you that are close. Step up a little closer. Give everybody room. Well, the first place that change starts to take place in your life is mostly on an affirmation that you know how much He loves you. Now, those that are watching, and there may be some in here, the first thing that we need to take a moment to do is pray for the lost. And if there's anybody in here that you're not 1,000% sure, those are watching, that you know Jesus, that you've been born again, that you have Christ in your life. Well, I joined the church, or my mom took me to church as a child. This building doesn't save you. It doesn't. Well, I'm a teenager, or I'm a young. Listen. If you're a teenager, you're already accountable. If you're close to being a teenager, you're already judged close enough to make a decision. If you don't make that decision when it's offered to you, if you go out and you die, this is hard. You'll go to hell, and nobody will be able to get you out of there. Nobody will get you out of there. Well, I'm just young. I haven't done. It doesn't matter. We're all born sinners. And there's only one escape. The escape is Christ. The escape is Christ. We have to be, all of us, born again. So how hard is that, Pastor? You don't have to join this church. You simply have to submit yourself. Call on God. Ask Christ to come into your life. Forgive you of your sins, repent of your sins, and say, Lord, I will follow you the rest of my life. And if I do happen to fall or slip at any time, I'll go right back and say, Lord, I thank you for the blood. Forgive me. I'll continue to serve you. Right now, if you're watching, right now, if you're in here, we're all going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to pray it together. Please, please consider this. Please, please don't put it off. Don't put it off till next week. I don't know if something happens to you. Simply say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I accept Him as God's way of salvation for me personally. Jesus, I believe in you that you died for my sins. And I give my heart over to you. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me a new person today. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I will follow you the rest of my life. I commit myself to you as a born again believer. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know people prayed that. Hallelujah. Tell somebody today. But let me speak to everyone now. Maha, yes, sir. Mehikaraso, yesekediato. Your strength in going forward in this next year and even now is knowing how much I love you and how much that anything that you have failed in the past is under my blood if you commit it to that place. Satan has run rampant on my church in a place of guilt even after they've brought themselves to a place of repentance. Do not look back, says the Spirit of the Lord. Don't even look back in this year, not only on sins, but on weights and things that have easily beset you. Things that you could have been more diligent in or spent less time in. Give yourself over no more to the contemplations of failure in your life. But give yourself over to an imagination of this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to walk into Him. I'm going to give my body a living sacrifice, which will be holy and acceptable unto God. And it is and will be my reasonable service. Father, now, would you pray this prayer with me? This is different than the salvation. Father, I receive myself in your image, in your likeness, and I say in Jesus' name, I am not a failure. I'm not confused. I'm not dismayed, but I'm filled with direction. I'm filled with purpose. I'm filled with the anointing of God. I know who I am. And I know where I'm going. And I say this year to come will be filled with your glory. I'll be filled with your glory. And the works that he did, I'll do also in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're not an alcoholic. That's not who you are. You've been born again. You're not addicted to drugs. That's not who you are. You've been born again. Keep going forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Lord, I stand in all you. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, go ahead. Amen. Amen. Be here next week. Bring an appetite. Stay, fellowship, enjoy one another. And I will see you. But we have a Wednesday night service, but be here especially for that Sunday service and fellowship with us. Amen. God bless you. We'll see everybody watching. We'll see you Wednesday night. Amen.